So, hi. Welcome back to LA Lit, Bay Poetics. We're here with Delray Cross, Suzanne Stein, Susan Gevertz, Magdalena Zarowski, Stephanie Young, who's taking my photo as we speak. And we are going to run, we're just going to allow each poet to, well, Delray read before the break, but we're just going to go through and each poet is going to read some, and then we're going to come back and kind of chat, and then we'll open the floor to questions from the audience. So first we're going to have Susan Gevertz. Susan Gevertz was an associate editor of However, a journal of modernist innovative directions in and women's poetry and scholarship. Her books include Hourglass Transcripts, Spelt, a collaboration with Myung Mi Kim, Black Box Cutaway, Narrative's Journey, the fiction and film writing of Dorothy Richardson, and she's been published in various journals. We also have, she has a book called Linen Minus, Domino, Point of Entry, Poets and Poets, and Taken Place, Reality Street. I think, so that's a lot of books. So Susan, please. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is this a good height for this? Is this going to sound regular?
Yeah.
Is that good? Okay. I'm going to start reading from a new chapbook that came out from D Press. Just a few, I know it's a good name. Just a few, just like a month ago. Omatic, for Elizabeth Robinson. Now I will tell you plainly and from no cryptic speech. That's from Aeschylus's Agamemnon. Filibuster, a thin pretend, veil, vile, conveyance, rhyme dogsters are, insist if as, building blocks, if as if as available, measures action, by answer will, of no action by action, nomer, ation. Delinquents video outside the gates, like a dad coming home at dinner time, subjects nomer, actions, 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 station, static notion, notion's notation, sing, a stupid, sing, chorus, taxiing for. One long pan, for interordinary, how about how the 10-minute take, exposures, times, perpetual stunt, meticulously pre-cut, notorious, I confess, topaz, mobility voyeur, by action answer, no action of meant, of no or ornament, players, true as you to scuttle, figure shy, characters move less, we see the object of the title, still you, but are. Saudi Arabia Scrivener, procuring jeeps, room service, reminiscence, adornment, adjacent. You are, but still. Curtained window, can we talk of form in terms of cannibalism and the 100 kinds of hunger, all servants to this meal? Diatribe, chorus refrain, name carnivore, lead to, as it may, distribute incarnate. To this work set, work this set too, Apollo, word my broke I my broke. If you were building blocks, I'd back of word break. Sear the was, but to broke. That promised to I children. Did wrath you sow, did wrath did harm, you sow no. Be that could how be that? By the author's author, do but we foretell that seems all, true you to us you to, the mere unmere, foretell that all seems delinquent omatic. But do we, that seems all forestall, all you that to us that seems, compensator, compressor, Cassandra, karaoke forge, forestall measures, halting, 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 holding up, name, object lesson, a name, repeat, stop. Then over again, trespass none. there pass ever again. Believed this none, for again none me for this. Mere migration as return. Do but we, true to us you, distribute, serve, insist if as, that seems all forestall. For halt unmere, filibuster stutter, notorious, one long pan plan, one helping of child flesh, as a cause if origin efface causes, extricate speech airy untie. Talk we can terms of the moving cursive scape. Now I'm going to read some very short excerpts from a very long piece. This is from a manuscript called Descant Redux, or How I Loop the Loop. For the last few years, I've been doing research on air traffic control and space travel, and I've applied for an artist in residency at the International Space Station in the Netherlands. There haven't been any artists in residence yet, so I'm still hoping that maybe I can be one. I've written about this, the research that has gone into this work in Chain's issue on Fact. I'm hoping to go to the third International Astronautical Congress on Space and Society at LAX. And this piece that I'm going to read from Aerodrome Orion is now also a sound piece. It's the result of a collaboration made in London last spring with sound artist Robin Rimbaud, also known as Scanner. We used the poetry text with air traffic control announcements in many different languages and a black box recording that he had. So I'm just going to read a few short excerpts from this. Do it. Aerodrome Orion. Trade here for here, kinetic emporium. Sell wind direction. Cumulonimbus by eye. Lie back to become patient. A history of information, a portrait. Spin in the flying city. Firefly carrier of pandemic, skirting the world as the business of the day below the night withers the day, as the year continues, the daily life of incompletion, the dangerous life of true north, and the eight directions of the compass. Sighting surface wind without sensor, squall, funnel cloud, drifting, blowing snow, sand, or dust, heroic. Fog to the west, severe turbulence and icing, thickening, beyond plot, way beyond binoculars of plot. Orion, what you make on Orion, I leave to you. What you take from Orion, I take to you. Far, far away where the swans fly to, when we are having winter, lived a king who had 11 sons and one daughter, Hans Christian Andersen. In the greening time, there was once. There was a, because we didn't, turn on the light. There was trespass. We didn't. Unadorned, side is his wife, Bellatrix, the shoulder stars. Drape the mantle of the remarkable nebula. Take first. Cause is effect. Once mishap, misshape. But let us not talk in the language of evidence. I'm going to stop there. Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Suzanne Stein, whose works have appeared in the publications Mirage No. 4 Periodical, Commonweal, Small Town, Bay Poetics, and at the venues Refuse Salon Gallery, the San Francisco Exploratorium, the Berkeley Arts Center, and elsewhere. She is the former co-director and film curator of Four Walls Gallery in San Francisco.
Thank you. I'm going to read from what I think is a longer work called Fugitive State, and this section I'm going to read was published in May in John Sakis's little two-person thing, both. Nothing is more important than the existence of what does not exist. That's John Hawkes. And I wanted to be comfortable with not seeking comfort, and that's from Sam D'Alessandro. Departures are fugitive acts. This line is that act. Our context, this one, where we are, finding insurgents alongside our social sorts of order, figuring what's patent, bonds of surety. That speech is a science makes force forceless. Empty and agile attacks, fears bright angles of where and underutilized, narrative propulsions, helping each other out of danger. Agreeing to tie it up, untie it, tie it again, readiness is a state of achievement. What key? I sent it back, and now I want it. Sensibility is a framework offering the give up, detachments the consolation prize, generous generation of losses. Tried for repetitive, replenitive behavior, enjoy the mouth of one, then immediately another. Would we could tell them apart, their exchange value more measurable. Naughty's a naughty word, what key, I sent it back, and now I want it. Do you hear how nothing can happen? Fear, in the shape of one stops, one never ceases. Transference makes the world go round. What's the next answer? $10,000, a bigger house, a brighter future? Pride, it goeth around saying too much. Time's run away with me. Is this a lyric? Stop asking questions. Stop asking. Stop. Empty altitudes, making like it's not accidental. Fantasizing another aptitude, the American resistance we've never heard of. I resists. I am anti-resistance. My compliancy's exceptionally a sexual fact. In an attempt to ban abuses, re-regulation plus deregulation of the facts. Does that parse for you? Let's trade up. Brighter house, bigger futures. Say we take a line of I. Social destitution required forthwith orders courtly behaviors pushing the cost mechanism forward. You will pay this much in the coin of that which is most dear. There, they said, was a post-war opening of the, it was the American mind, active actions in recession, covert departures as justificatory acts, acts of justification, acts of confrontation, confrontationary acts, stationary acts. Better yet, mortification acts. One body forms two, one to meet, the other to receive. To reduce by adding where no redemption from this reduction, the body's addled by abuse's absence, so produces its own milk from which to add its conjunctively addled, two into one's an oblique construction. Time to enjoy the view, softly, softly. Everything inside conspires. I am an American correspondent in America who no longer corresponds to anything. Once there was a time, at that time, in that time, then, different orders coagulating into objects of time. The abduction was a form of convulsion. It was raining, there was blood everywhere. Shooting people isn't a joke. Remember, she said, no envy, no fear, no meanness. When I think about something, I am really thinking of something else. I had an anti-terrorist group. It was financed by terrorists. With my right thumb gentle under her left ear and my palm and fingers against her skull, I pressed her cheek against the door's slick surface of expensive, high-gloss exterior house paint, specially treated, thus nothing, no rain penetrating the wood. Her soft body and that hard fact, her hair, was wet, dark, and dripping, and framing the door as the structural device for opening into another form, the plot, I asked her. How is it you know yourself and never doubt it? A new psychology enters the scene and refuses to leave, sets up situations and more time. Repositioning to absorb or allow the new psychology, one becomes two, accretion instead of division. Is the question one of form? A plan is only that, to have, to act, to come, to be, to speak, to say, to certain, we called that freedom. I was still very young and foolish. My life was very decadent. I liked to smoke, lying naked in bed in the afternoons with the windows open. He was a guy with no ideals. His anti-terrorist group was financed by terrorists. I asked him for a light. If I was beautiful, no one knew it. At times, I felt I was wasting my life. I stayed in bed, dreaming and reading all day. The car was white, or the men were. The landscape was white. Again, I asked him for a light. That's form for you. Its demand colludes. In collusion with whom? In collusion with him. We tried. We tried it on. There was a gun in my hand. It registered itself as a black fact. You've been deceived. What's worse, you've been deceptive. The standard deviation is seditionary act, a-global attachments, trial and terror. To canker the steadfast act via devaluations in reductive super or supra force, unsure of what's said, malevolence, loves, cares, relevance, the sweet perpetration of facts. Suppose our supposition emptied of weather. Serendipitous acts of error, mistaking it for something other than it is, thus thought, i.e. thinking. In flight, there's nothing to covertify, nothing to be covert by, nothing covert about it. It's out in the open, and once there's no room for other than remit contention, our attitudes adjusted to the light maladaptation offers a greater return. The voice growing colder, I mean slower, and with time, the reel that moves, disarrayed, speaking to none, our to will it not exist, moving forward, something placed there as a descriptor, certain allegorical syllables surfacing onto our outer forms, circumvention by manner of posture, light parceled out with time, separate from being. It isn't for the sake of money flows out of the hand, sentencing the facts to their where they are, the indefinite articles the future. Fortune, it savors the bold. When I am thinking of something, I am really thinking of something else. Cut quietly away from the pill, the panacea, the fix, the cure, flight acts or fluid ones, influid overfull to capacity tactics, settling down, municipality gives over to inescapable lyric. Language won't reanimate the dead, I come to find, translate or mediate want into what it looks like. At the presence of time and departure, the configuration's confusing. One frame follows the other, alert to behavior, alert to weather, but inert in time or too fluidly in time, the fountains mistake themselves for tributaries. Wanting wants not to penetrable to find its way to, i.e. numb, i.e. forgetful, not manifesting anything besides fruitlessly manifesting. Take the standard deviation, take the day pass. Pharmaceuticals infect behaviors with new behaviors, a tracery to have and orders to have. Oh, all things being frugal, stop the war. It's a fictive, of course, but the thing was live and had its purpose, including unfolding time, which unfolds in time, but destination recedes, is fugitive. As all else predicated on an absence of representation, were moneyless, equal in scale to memory. As in forgetting, the rain's realness is an illusion. Separations inevitable thus reflect on the usefulness of civil wars and the necessity of violent, uninterventionist death. To destroy thoughtlessly is irresponsible. To destruct with intention is satisfactory and accountable. Where does it hurt? It pinches by intelligent design. Our order of things, our nature of things, the social world's disturbance and stars laid out in prison patterns. I apologize, the film's so silent. The soundtrack's off or missing. When the rain starts, the picture stops. The lights pour in the train, which keeps moving. Is it enough to watch and to not listen? Where are you? Where did you come from? Where were you going? Do you believe in freedom? Do you have any brothers or sisters? When I think about something, I'm really thinking of something else. When I think about something, I'm really thinking of something else. When I think about something, I'm really thinking of something else. When I think about something, I'm really thinking of something else. I think I'll stop there.
So next we have Stephanie Young. So Stephanie Young lives in Oakland and works at Mills College. But you can also find her blog at The Well-Nourished Moon. She's board member of Small Press Traffic. She is a board member of Small Press Traffic. She also hosted a popular series of poetry readings at her house in Oakland for 7 years, and she's the editor of Bay Poetics. Oh, did I say? I meant several years. Sorry. It was 27 years of... Anyway, so Bay Poetics, anthology out from Faux Press. Her writing has been published in Petticoat Relaxer, Five Fingers Review, Vert, Shampoo, Mirage Periodical, Cypress Magazine, Lit, Can We Have Our Ball Back, and Combo.
Thank you. I just want to say one big like thank you again to everybody. When Maggie was telling her story about, you know, giving the reading and like the seven people in the room were all these amazing people, I'm such a sap, but I kind of feel that way all the time. Like, and actually, I think a lot of people in this room, it feels really important to me that they all be here. So thank you for being here. I'm going to read these four short poems there. I started doing them not that long ago. Jessica Smith, who's a blogger, has this project called Foursquare, where it's four people. They each write 4 inches by 4 inches worth of material. It's a little piece of paper that folds like this. And I just drunkenly signed on to a project that Ara Sherinian and company may or may not complete, which involves 4 projects a year of 40 pages or more. And maybe this will be my first one because I'm only 4 pages there, and the 4 seems to figure prominently in the whole configuration. So I ran for the bus, and I wasn't even in service. Yes, I did. I thought California would be different. Paper cut from a review and not my own. How refer the cause? My hands are all dirty from the railing, then touched his lips. I swung the bat, the wiffle ball bat, and missed with those hands the future, a glob of mucus suspended above his leg, pendulous, collection of bacteria about to drip. How embarrassing. Occupying the same physical habitat is called a community that is embarrassed. One example is a biofilm, not a biopic. The resident population likely to benefit from increased metabolic efficiency. Certainly you must be. Through interactions within a biofilm, disgusted with my techniques, I am. The resident population of bacteria, I must be. Dermal wounds often provide an ideal environment to exist as a community, which may have a significant effect on wound healing. They're not exactly 4x4, I'm seeing. Okay. Forsaken for to minimize needing too much, and he wants you to know crawling around by the vent removes or neutralizes poison. Don't look in here, the folder said. Youth and beauty will be gone, mainly behind the ribs. Occurs for a crew. Telling this with a sigh, and the line takes off like 1970, ramps up the sound, fuel moves over time to filter out the toxins from one place to the next. It was hard to concentrate on snow-capped peaks, afraid to talk with you, where only scale changes. Your physiology, divided into right and left sections, bad education, a mystery passes to your lower intestine. Really hard now, not to think of it. The amount of enzymes stolen from love, too. Heeding whispers where you hear none. The speed with which they work, day and night, night and day, wherever you were. Evidence that blood returning had to make a decision. That's how it seemed, camera, in the early phase. Oh, capital, if I took it, I took it personally, which turns an orange-brown color. Let's kiss and make up. People would not die from hepatitis C. That's how it seemed, writing from this awkward position. So let's start giving. Ironically, September, making a list in a restricted field. My boyfriend, number one super guy, taught me to sing in my nightgown. I wasn't bad at class discussions in my nightgown. Wish the button on my shirt, for your sake, was not gifted. And fathering children out of her body. Evildoer is reading your mail, applying underarm deodorant on the day of love, on the outside of her clothes. After all, they are people too, named for the priests who fought the emperor. With their panini, will not make it evening if we go and touch its guardrail. Who stopped the soldiers? Found a jar of strawberries, guilty doer, and in my memory, a number who can read your mind. Something bad, and someone ate them. Filial duty over the falls in the regular loss of cells in 4-poster boards. They were rotten. They are lost more quickly, and the yeast grows in that field there. Okay, fine. How did it seem against the realism? Kind of food blogging. Thesis on the ego. Illegible and broke it with my feet. The other discourse. Hoped it began in the stomach of the maker of films. Coming for me. If there was a thesis, spilling out the sides of my shoes and all the drawers just waiting there looked like you had a question with a bottle of Pellegrino, the dark verbal arts, and all the pencils. Sentimental over another hole, instead of blowing it in the ground on a weak and undeserving vehicle, this threat from a striped couch, the deep glue is your threat. Cough. When they are kitten, a matter of days, what happens? Get ready, or weeks. Weave depressive verse, heels and wood to burn red pumps, they drown. And we are all very fluent, sliding through fields. If it weren't for James, Henry James, about ourselves, causing a lot of damage, would still be together. Something turns the wheel with its four fundamental principles, could turn on us. Tell me again, a truck sat on my mind. Drive, he said, let Casper. Thanks.
Okay, next up. Maggie Zurowski is currently working on a novel called The Bruise, and she keeps a blog at Minor Americans. She says of herself, which I'm going to read for you, I was born in Newark, New Jersey, and grew up in Edison, New Jersey, but Providence, Rhode Island feels like my hometown more than any place else because that's where I started having sex and meeting poets and being a real person in a real world. My major poetic influences are Jack Spicer, Bruce Springsteen, and Immanuel Kant, but only the third critique. Early Bruce Springsteen albums make me happier than anything on earth, well, as happy as really, really good poetry reading.
Oh, man, I'm gonna write that. All right, then. This is the bridge. It's too much. If a person stood on campus facing east, she could see beyond the towering science library a rusty iron bridge on the horizon open and erect over the Seekonk River. If a person stood on the road that ran along the river, she could see that the bridge was preceded by a field of tall grasses that grew to the very edge of the river and seemed to grow to the very mouth of the bridge, though there must have been a road that led on to the bridge or had once led on to the bridge, but I had never walked that far out to the bridge, but only once stood in the grass in front of it. Only once had I walked to the bridge, once when I first came to school and knew nothing about the bridge. I walked to the bridge early in the morning because I couldn't sleep. I headed east towards the bridge because I could see the bridge clearer than anything else. And following the sight of the bridge, I walked past the Portuguese bakery and past the wooden houses of Fox Point, over the Little League field, into the grasses where I stopped and stood, though I hadn't quite reached the bridge, the rusty bridge rising several hundred yards in front of me. And I watched the early sunlight filter through the rusty girders of the old bridge until the light of the horizon became so bright that I had to turn away. There were many stories about the bridge and many stories about the places around the bridge, and often when people wanted to be alone, they walked towards the bridge and stood in the grasses staring at the bridge and the water and the sun. And once in the dining hall, Nate told me that if I had just gone a little bit north of the bridge, just a little bit beyond the Little League field, I would have come to a stretch of road along the river that was cut off from the sight of any houses, a stretch of road that was flanked on one side by the river and its grasses and on the other side by woods. Nate said if I had just walked north along the river, I would have come to this road, and along this road by the river, I would have found a string of cars parked not all in a row, one in front of the other, but a short distance from one another. And if I came to this stretch of road and saw these cars, he said I would see in many of these cars a man sitting alone at the wheel, and I would wonder why so many men were sitting in cars alone along the river. But then Nate said possibly if I waited long enough, I would see one of the men maybe get out of his car and walk over to another car and get into that car with another man. Or I would see two men walking across the road into the woods together. And he said that he knew a boy from school who had walked down to that part of the river and had gotten into a car with one of those men. And the man told the boy, who Nate knew, that if his wife was only willing to do this to him what the boy was willing to do to him along the river, he wouldn't have to come and park down by the river. And though I still thought the bridge was beautiful after I heard the story from Nate, I never went back to the river, and each time I looked east from campus and saw the bridge erect in the sky, even though I still thought it was beautiful, for some reason the sight of the bridge, despite the fact that it was still beautiful, made me feel very lonely. The sentence. 2 years... Sorry. 2 years earlier, I had found a sentence in an essay, and ever since I had found the sentence, I had kept it written neatly by hand on the line side of an index card that I had cut to the exact size of a business card so that I could keep the sentence in my wallet in the plastic, protective plastic that was meant to protect credit cards, bank cards, driver's licenses, student IDs, family photos, and especially certain business cards of great importance, but that I had used primarily to protect this particular sentence that I had found in an essay 2 years earlier while reading the essay for my literature class. I can't remember what the essay was called or who had written it or why we had even read the essay, what its relationship was to the novels we were reading. I can remember even less of what the essay was about because when I read the essay, I was a very young student of literature and there was very little that I understood about literature at all. And whenever I was asked to read an essay about literature, I rarely understood anything in the essay, but I was stubborn and would always read the essay to the end because I thought if I forced myself to read the things students of literature were supposed to read, even if I didn't understand the things as I was reading, eventually I would understand them and I would be a student of literature, and that is how I read this essay. And so I had understood next to nothing that was written in this essay, and I had understood very little of what my professor had to say about the essay too, but somehow I thought to keep this one sentence from the essay, and so I didn't leave the sentence behind. And I thought as long as I kept looking at the sentence, one day I would eventually know what it meant to me, why I had written down this sentence and put it on a card that I kept with me always in my wallet. And so when I was waiting in line at the refectory or standing on the corner by the library waiting for the night shuttle or sitting on the steps outside the blue room in between classes, I would pull out my wallet and read the card to myself and see if I had yet really understood the sentence. And slowly I began to realize the reason that this sentence had been important to me was because it had nothing to do with literature but with real life, and what it discussed was something in life I didn't yet myself know. And so each time I read, quote, each time a man speaks to another in an authentic and full manner, something takes place which changes the nature of the two beings present, end quote, it was as if I were reading a sentence that was discussing something imaginary that was happening between two people in a story. But of course, I knew the speaking that the sentence was talking about was not the speaking of two people in a story, but the speaking between two people in real life, and I wondered if I could ever speak to someone in such a way, and the more I wondered about such things, the lonelier I felt, as if I had never spoken to anyone ever before. And so each time I pulled out the card to stare at my sentence, I wondered when I would ever begin to speak in such a way, and the more I thought that I wanted to speak to someone in a very real way, the more scared I got that I never would be able to, because I thought there were so many things to say to someone that were real that it seemed impossible to say them all, and without saying them all it seemed as if somehow what one said was untrue, because without finding sentences for all the thoughts in my head there would only be some parts of thoughts, and that would not be true, because it seemed each of the thoughts helped make a whole world, and it seemed if I didn't find enough sentences for all the thoughts in my head, I would never really be able to live in the same world with somebody, and more than anything, I wanted to live in the same world with somebody, and so soon I stopped looking at the sentence altogether, because it made me think it would be impossible ever to have enough sentences to speak to somebody in a real way, and I might be stuck alone in my thoughts forever. Thanks.
So we're going to invite all of the Bay Poets back up here and kind of open the floor to questions from the audience. And there is a microphone up here that we have turned off right now because when you pick it up, it makes like really loud kind of clunky sounds. So just remember when you come up here, turn the microphone on. And if you have questions, you know, the floor is yours.
Sorry.
That was my fortune cookie.
Oh,
my
no. Fortune now. You can still recover the fortune.
Oh, wait, no, it was someone else's.
It was mine. You crushed my fortune.
Well,
that's all right. That's
if you dare.
What was the crushed fortune?
Mine very carefully, placing it in my lap. And not had an
idea. I know. I crushed mine a long time ago.
You have to read that. What was the crushed fortune?
The crushed fortune is you have a good head for matters of money. 6, 25, 36, 39, 40,
that's true,
16.
Del. You told us all about that in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Those are your...
I don't think that's mine.
But if you add a lot of zeros, you might want it to be yours.
It might, yeah. Wow.
So, no questions?
You edit out the dead air?
Yeah, we edit some things out. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do I have to use this?
Yes, please. But then you'll be on the recording as opposed to not.
Ah. I don't want to be on the recording. Now, I don't know if it's a question, but...
You got to hold the microphone.
I'm sorry. See, if I do it, I don't know how to do this with microphones. But I want to go back to the thing about the scene or the literary legacy of San Francisco, because, like, California, are most of you not from California? Not from California? Hi, I'm Harold. I have a question to ask you. I can follow the proper form, but... California, like where the idea of like people coming here to invent themselves, right? And like Southern California seems to me, having lived here, to be a place where people come to like completely invent themselves from scratch. And San Francisco is a place that's attractive for people to come to be part of something, like to like identify with something bigger. And like in your case, so I'm just thinking about like literarily or whatever, and like this idea of coming to San Francisco, and then, and it's all make-believe, right? Like you're saying, you're coming to San Francisco and you're going to pick and choose whatever part of the literary legacy there is and make something out of it. So like, I'm just kind of interested in the contrast between those two things, if it makes any sense, of like just making something completely out of scratch versus like saying I'm going to like, you know, shape something out of what's, you know, there or what was there or some version of history that I want to make up.
This dumb answer that I keep wanting to say is that people also come to San Francisco to become perverts. And that's a narrative that you can still, like, make happen. But again, it's about sort of, like, constructing yourself out of a history of alternative sexualities, which are really real. Like,
oh, they're so real.
Yeah. So maybe we could talk about how one becomes a pervert.
I serve food to perverts.
Inversion of like you think like Northern California is like the hippie.
Sexual perversions and inversions. Nothing. Forget it.
Does anybody want to answer that one? Is the pervert answer?
No,
are
I
the,
like
are the poets more perverse in the Bay Area?
What did you just say? What's more perverse in the Bay Area?
No, are the poets bigger perverts in the Bay Area?
Totally. There's no doubt about that, but. I don't know if I'm not sure if I definitely think of Los Angeles and Southern California as a place where people will go to invent themselves from scratch. But I don't know if, you know, if what you're saying in contrast to that is what happens in the Bay Area is that it's a picking and choosing of like literary legacy in order to create something. I mean, I think that well, I think saying that something is a local influence is much different than saying that someone's arriving there with the idea that they're going to create a work that's akin to or grows out of. I mean, I think we're in a place which is just so loaded, and it is a small space, and it's so loaded that you can't help but be, like, you know, rubbing up against that. But I'm not sure. Is that, do you have something more to say about that?
I think maybe my point was more that, like, an individual can say, here's the lineage I would like to place myself in the end has no control over that. Or you can say, this is who's really important to me, or this is a tradition that I'm interested in and I would like to see my own work extending. But if that really actually happens, like...
Does one think like that? Does this one? Does that one? Does this one?
Good question. Does that one?
This one, that one. Go ahead.
I think I already said that when I moved to San Francisco, which I moved not to come to San Francisco. I mean, it was a happenstance. My partner at the time got accepted to grad school there, and I did not want to leave Boston. And I'm like, this is one of the only places that I would move to, so this is where we moved. And but I was excited about the literary tradition, and I had just really gotten serious about being a writer. And like I said, I read everything I could about the history and tried, you always try to find where you might think that you belong in that. And I did, it was very exciting, but only, I think Maggie and I were just talking about this, you know, after reading Biting the Error, for example, about a year ago, I glommed onto that more than anything that I thought that I was one thing, and then I'm like, oh, I can understand, I feel like I'm more a part of this, this is exciting. I mean, who knows where you fit in any kind of like community, but it is certainly exciting to be excited about the history that, of the place that you're in and realize that, you know, a lot of this stuff has happened here.
And also that it's very live and you're right up against it still.
Thanks, Bruno.
Various purposes, you know, to come and, you know, make careers and names for themselves. Yeah.
I remember Barbara Guest, when she moved to Berkeley, back to Berkeley, saying that it was great to be where there was so much more permission to write in lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. But what exactly she was referring to, I don't know. I mean, she also has her book, The Confetti Trees, which I think is probably an LA book, and partly what we contend with is our fantasy of what's possible in one place or another, but also right. It's not pure fantasy. Some things really are more possible in one place than another. And I think that in my case, when I finished a PhD, everybody said, well, now you go get a job wherever you can get a job. And I was committed to not leaving San Francisco because I wanted to sit more with Duncan, or not because I wanted sit at the feet of Beverly Dahlen, although those people had major impact on my work and in my life, but because there was such an extremely lively conversation there. And so I was committed to staying in a place where the conversation was relentless, and how the influences have percolated through, God knows, but I think that kind of commitment probably, that might be something that people either come to after arriving or move to San Francisco for. But maybe move to other places for something else that's an imagined possibility in that other kind of place.
Yeah, there's a strong literary tradition here in LA. I mean, it seems to me. Am I mistaken?
Yeah, there is. But I mean, I think what Susan was just saying is what I'm getting at. It's particular, I mean, I don't want to say, I'm just curious as to, like, as a writer, when you go, I mean, if you're in a community like that, where you go, like, the two things you said, like, you can go for that thing you just said to the Bay Area, what about the rest of the world? Like, do you feel like your work resonates out of there, or can you talk about, like, the legacy, you know, like, what you're mm-hmm. doing in the Bay Area? Does it spill over mm-hmm. and have meaning elsewhere, I think, is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Or is there a way to import that, like, to import that conversation or that thing throughout other communities.
That's a different and really interesting question.
Does it mean something? Other than
I don't know. Anybody have something to say about that?
I do, because when I moved again, I actually think it's really hard for me to find a San Francisco tradition in my poetry, and there probably is, but I felt very strongly aligned as a very young poet with New York school. And although I'd never lived in New York, I lived in Boston for 3.5 years, and everybody that I, even as I moved to San Francisco, everything that I was really getting into was New York school, New York school, New York school. And seems like people in Boston and New York, I mean, I get invited to read in on the East Coast more than I get invited to read in San Francisco, even though I've been there for like 6.5 years. So I do, there's a little bit of reflection, tossing back and forth between seeing what the differences. I mean, I find it very intriguing, the whole concept of like place and community and what it's all about. And it, means various things to me, but I think about it a lot.
I think this thing about how incredibly diverse the writing practice is in San Francisco and the Bay Area is just amazing. And what's interesting about it is that we're all still really in conversation with each other constantly. Like, here we are sitting with Del, who maybe, it goes to New York more to read or gets asked to read more in New York. But our writing practice is all really, really different. Most of the people that we spend a lot of our time with, the writing practice is incredibly, incredibly diverse. And yet we're talking to each other all the time, and we're reading each other all the time, and we're learning from each other all the time. And in terms of education, too, it's so incredibly different and diverse. So I'd say more, somebody else, about
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah. Franklin, did you?
Franklin. Well, I was just going to say, not exactly in L.A.'s defense, but as someone who actually didn't come here from anywhere else, but is here for selfish reasons anyway, that's me. Something that I think is fairly common among writers who find themselves here either by birth or by accident is a sense that one is writing in resistance to the very inhospitability mm-hmm. of the place mm-hmm. to literary culture. Mm-hmm. That has a lot of disadvantages, but it has its uses too.
Mm-hmm.
So something I wanted to say. And and actually, something else that occurs to me about L.A. poetry is that there have been a couple of generations of people who have strong connections to translation and to international mm-hmm. scenes, whether it's, Jen Hoffer, who's down here now and obviously has a lot of contact with the poetry of the Americas, or the Douglas Messerly and Paul Vangelisti, with a lot of connection with European literature and especially Italian literature. I'm just wondering how that compares with everyone's experience of what the San Francisco literary culture is in relation to, you're a port city too, so.
We all want to answer that one.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No.
Were you going to say something?
No.
Well, the main experience I can bring to that is I was mentioning earlier, I think, that I run a symposium for Greek poets and U.S. poets in Greece every summer, and there are many roadblocks in the ways that it refers out. It refers out in the sense that the impulse to do collective work that is one element, certainly not the only element in the Bay Area, but one, is transplantable, but I don't know that it's recognizable to the Greek poets that we have been interacting with, for example. There's almost no public life of readings or publishing, very little in Greece. That's, of course, very different in France. But the question of how it refers out and how what the experience of coming up against something, an attempt to keep working under very different kinds of circumstances, that kind of collision has been of great interest to me. And it seems to me like a necessary politics to attempt to find out what it's like to attempt that conversation or even lack of.
No, I feel like you had a lot to say on this one. I mean, I think there's like, I always think of Norma Cole.
Well, I was just going to say, right?
I would say you could probably speak to Norma's work.
Well, just in terms of translation, there's, I mean, two people I think of immediately are Norma Cole, who's translated so much French poetry and French writing, and who's, you know, been great influence on me. But also Gerald Sharoma, who does Duration Press and does so much translation stuff, is there. And I think we actually do have a pretty fluid, at least coming in. The way that you addressed that was interesting in terms of thinking about, you know, how our work refers out. It's interesting to hear that, because I know that we experience so much work in translation. We actually get a lot of international mm-hmm. poets come like crazy through San Francisco. We get to hear people reading in all kinds of languages and all forms of translation and lots of different things. But I myself haven't thought so much about what it looks like going out in the other direction. Have you guys thought more about it? Well, clearly you're thinking about it a lot.
Like transplanting mm-hmm. a little bit of the community to another place. So
right.
It had to be thought of.
Right. And there's also a lot of, a lot of young poets are translating too, like, you know, Brandon Brown's Greek and Latin, Arabic, you know, and there's a lot of Arabic translation. Young people are doing a lot of Arabic, you know. What else?
Stacy Doris is time at State,
Palmer.
I think.
Michael
has
Palmer.
Influenced. Oh, yeah, Michael Palmer, too, has really influenced a whole generation of younger writers who've studied with her. That program at State's been really, well, vibrant forever, but particularly vibrant in terms of translation in the last few years. Mm-hmm. Totally. Answered that question.
Boom. So any other questions? Stephanie?
I was interested in the anthology, because it was sort of a symbol like a magazine, and it's very much, you know, momentary, and it starts out with a piece, you know, Christoph Aleno piece, which is very memoirish. And I'm seeing more and more this tendency towards memoir that I guess I haven't seen, you know, in the last maybe 10 years ago. I mean, you know, Maggie, your piece is very memoirish. When Jen Moxley came through here, who I still think of as a California writer because of San Diego and so forth, she was reading memoir. You know, Juliana Spahr is doing memoir to some degree. And I'm wondering, after this, you know, this dominant moment of language, you know, poetry in the 80s and 90s, if you know, why people are suddenly turning, you know, to the memoir. Is it because of we're looking for some sort of recovery, or, you know, a memory after so much fragmentation, or what is
well,
it?
Well, it's interesting thinking too about Under Albany coming out in the last few years, and then also what was the other one? That, was it the Grand Piano that's just started? Are you guys? Does anybody here subscribe to that?
Yeah.
It's this collectively authored autobiography of the language poets, and it's coming out in 10 sections. It's $90 to subscribe. You can subscribe mm-hmm. through Lynn Hingenian. But it's, again, it's a moment of kind of, I don't know if it's recovery. Susan and I were talking about it over the break, of sort of the ongoing process of documentation. But mm-hmm. there's such a, I don't know what the answer is to that one, but I think the spectrum is really interesting. Like Jennifer Moxley's is, like, on the far end of the spectrum, like, the sentences are so lovely and beautiful, and then there's kind of like there's a kind of fragmentariness towards the other end of it. There's also like the collective moment, which is automatically necessitates a kind of fragmentation. I don't know. I'm more curious in how it's happening. I have no idea. What do you think it's about recovery?
I don't know. I mean, I saw, you know, I've been, because I was doing a lot of French translation for a while and trying to really investigate what was going on in the contemporary French scene. And there's sort of a companionable moment there, in that a lot of poetry is based on inventory. You know, it's like direct appropriation, things found on the street, sort of a Merz poetry where, you know, it's everything that I've discovered in the last, you know, several months, you know, just an actual physical inventory. Whereas here it's more narrative, but at the same time there seems like there's this, I don't know, this sort of global moment of trying to, you know, recover a living memory or a living, you know, presence.
I always think of it as, like, for so long I felt like I couldn't use the pronoun I, and I wonder if people are just like, I,
right,
you know,
right,
after
right,
so
right.
long, you know, and then even the language poets, they're like, we, you know, it's the closest they can get.
I can just top. I would say that I am blatantly reacting to the historical kind of poetry in San Francisco by trying really hard to do autobiography as absolutely much and be as absolutely personal and autobiographical as I possibly can. And oddly, you know, there's like always a really strong conflict not to be, you know, not to do that, you know, not to give anything away. And I think that's that for me is very personal and a very much a reaction to, you know, how do I relate to this poetry that has taken place in this area.
Yeah, when you were talking, Franklin, about LA being less hospitable to literary culture in the sense of always sort of writing in opposition to that, and that could be useful to have something to be in a reactive position against. Like, I think that could be so true of the Bay Area as well. Certainly as I was coming into being a writer, I was very much about this, like, willful, fitful, fuck you, I'll use the I as much as I want to. And it's, I keep having this ongoing conversation with people down here where it seems like the I is still very much contestable, and there's still a lot of, like, among younger writers, like, shouldn't use it. It's still that conversation. That conversation's still happening, it seems. Well, everywhere, probably. I don't know.
If you look at Oprah Winfrey and well, I mean, like that whole silly thing with James Fry. I mean, it's just there's this obsession in our culture with truth, or like the idea that it's real, or and like he called it a memoir because he couldn't get it published as a novel, because somehow people are more drawn to the idea of memoir for some reason now, but it seems to be like at every level in the culture now, people, you know, nonfiction books sell better than fiction, and there's this like, mistrust of the imaginary.
Yeah. Well, I always want to remember that this question about the use of an I has been contested and an issue long before the language poets. And it's very much a legacy of a historical moment to locate it with language poetry. So, I mean, it's certainly a modernist question, certainly even a pre-modernist question, and maybe all of the ways in which identity politics are unresolved are maybe more what we're witnessing than an issue of poetics. Even maybe it gets.
Hello. So you guys were talking about lineage a little bit, and I think, Stephanie, earlier you said that there was distance to the beats. And I'm wondering about that distance, and if it's... because in a couple of your readings I heard, maybe not influences, but echoes. And... maybe it has to do with the eye or something. I don't know, but I'm wondering about that distance. Yeah, I'm wondering about that distance and if it's like an anxiety of influence or is it? I don't know.
I mean, because I don't know if it's true. It was one of those moments where I was like, huh.
Which what I brought the thing up about. I like to bring that into the discussion. I think because it was very important for me. I think a lot of the problems, you know, I think most poets are afraid of the stereotype which mainstream or whatever might have about beat poetry or whatever, and that's like all poets. But I certainly hope that I echo in my writing that tradition. It's definitely not the only tradition that I hope I echo, but, you know, I think that's very important.
I think there's a lot of resistance to that in the particular poetry community in San Francisco, but like in New York City, I mean, Allen Ginsberg is the Pope of St. Mark's, you know, poetry project. You know, he's thought of as being this you know, this godfather of that scene when you're hanging out there. And and like Clark Coolidge being obsessed with Jack Kerouac and Michael Gizzy being really interested. It seems like on the East Coast, you're allowed to somehow like the beats more than you are in San Francisco. But I think that's also like San Francisco's resistance to the New York school aesthetic. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's all. I mean, Clark Coolidge hung out with the Beats in North Beach and played music with people who were Beat poets and musicians. So, for example, his relationship to all of that is totally different than ours, who, read them. Just as one kind of angle on that.
These are two really personal impressions or senses of it. I don't know if this is speaking just for Stephanie Young. But I think there's also something in a scene that momentarily over the last 5 years is much more identified with Spicer and identifies with Spicer's position on the Beats. I think there's that. And then there's also, I know for me, like socially and just like, especially in terms of gender, we were just talking about Kiger's Japan and India journals. I feel like once I read those, like, I was so pissed. Really can't stand Snyder because of that book. I would so much rather identify with Kiger's entrance into the Spicer circle than I would want to identify with Kiger's position with the Beats, and I think I've in some ways written them off socially.
I haven't got a statement to make about that.
Your position is no comment?
For the moment.
Well, unless there's any, like, questions burning in any of the other audience members, maybe we should let it be at that.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Just thank you so much. It's been so great for us coming to LA and be so well taken care of, and it's been really fun to do it. I know that everyone wants to.
Thank you.
And definitely thanks for coming on LA Lit. It's been great. Yeah.
And also LA is so exciting right now. I think we should do an exchange program. Like maybe you guys can
there.
I think
it'd be
super great.
You guys can walk.
We could.
I think we should walk.
Take you on a stroll.
Not from there.
All the way there?
That's what I meant, all the way there.
You'll feel more comfortable that way. You'll get
there. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we get to hear some.